Said we'll be continuing a study that I started a while back. I had done this, set this up several years ago as far as like a home study, and I thought these principles needed to be taught in the congregation. They need to be taught on a consistent basis, and they'll need to be taught again as time goes on. We never hit that point where we don't continue teaching God's principles and God's Word. This morning, we're going to do part three of this series I called God's Plan for the Family, and this is focusing on the children. Now, these things that we've studied about, you will see that some of them overlap. Husband, father, mother, wife, and then the children. And some of those things we studied about in the two earlier studies will be carried over into this when we focus specifically on the parenting role in the home. However, these things are vital for our society. They are vital for the souls of men because God does have a design for the family. Not only does God have a design for the family, God has a design for mankind. And He desires us to live a certain way and conduct ourselves in certain manners. And He does that for our benefit. Now, we've looked at the instruction for the man in the home. We've looked at the instruction for the woman in the home. What's the role of the children in the home? Are they supposed to just sit idly by until they get older and then decide how to figure it out and where to go? No, that's not God's plan. God has a plan for the children in the home. And it's the parents' responsibilities to make sure those children are taught to live and conduct themselves in accordance with the plan that God has laid out. As we've stated before, I don't think it's a shock to you if someone were to say that society is crumbling around us. Homes have been destroyed, lives have been destroyed because of immorality, because of just not living by God's word. Immorality results in a multitude of problems from these broken homes, has all kinds of problems associated with it. And one of the indicators of this immorality that is running rampant in the homes today is the behavior and the conduct of our children in society. There are times you go out into public and you see children doing things that are shocking. And what even is more shocking is that they're doing it while the parent stands right beside them. And it makes you wonder what's going on in that home. But every time we see that, what we should be saying to ourselves is, what's going on in my home? Am I making sure that these things aren't happening in my home and under my guidance and under my roof? If moral guidelines of the Bible were followed, we would have more Christian homes. We would have more Christian children being raised to go out and serve and glorify God. And that is God's plan, that the homes bring up children so that they would willingly desire to go serve in the kingdom and to glorify Him through their lives. Let's look at what the Bible teaches concerning parents and children and that dynamic in the godly home. Psalm 127 and verse 3 through 5, I've got two quick verses here. I'm going to throw on the boards that kind of help set our mind for this study. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, children are a blessing. They are a true, wonderful blessing in the home. And we need to look at them that way. But the children also have a responsibility. Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3 says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. See, children, God commands you some things too. It's not all on the parent. And this, we have to work together in our homes in order for them to be run in the way that God wants them to be. As I said, children are a blessing from God. They should be treated as such. You know, when we receive blessings from God, those blessings are given by design and with a purpose. You know, God gives us a lot of blessings sometimes. We're blessed with the physical things of this life, but He also puts upon us the concept of stewardship and how we use those physical blessings that He gives us. We should use them in a way to glorify Him. So that blessing was given with a purpose. Well, children are very similar. They are given with a purpose. They are to be raised in a certain manner. They are to be brought up and be taught the Word of God and the principles of our Creator so that they can go out and yield fruitful lives and look forward to Christ coming back again someday. God wants your children to serve and glorify Him, and He wants that for their benefit because that's the best thing for them. It's the best plan. It's the best path they can choose in life is to glorify God. Parents are responsible for teaching them the ways of the Lord. Children have to take notice about their responsibilities as well. We wait too late to start teaching our children that they have responsibilities because God's Word says to do this. We wait far too late to start teaching God's Word in our homes. They need to understand that God has spoken to them as well as the parent to conduct themselves in a certain pattern and manner. He has given them instruction on how their role is in the Christian home. Let's talk about parents for just a moment. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 7, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Parents, teaching God's Word is a constant thing. It should be done on a consistent basis, all day, every day. 24/7. There's always opportunities to teach about God's Word, to teach about what God expects from people in this world and how to get the blessings that He offers us, how to enjoy the rewards that He has laid out for us. Consistently teach your children these things. Dropping on down in the same chapter there in Deuteronomy 6, in verse 20 through 21, it says, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes of the judgment which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand." You know, far too often we get intimidated by the questions our children ask us. "Mom, Dad, why do we do this? Mom, Dad, how come this?" And through our intimidation and a lot of times through our own lack of study and lack of being prepared, we say, "Well, that's just the way we do it." God says, be prepared to explain to your children why certain things are a certain way. Because what He just told us was, parents, they're going to ask you questions. The Lord's communion here is a great example of something. You know, it's something we do on the first day of the week. We gather around this table. We remember and honor the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pass these emblems. "Hey, Mom, Dad, never have asked you, how come y'all do that?" "Well, that's just what we do." And you know, a lot of other people don't do that. Instead of talking about what other people are doing, why don't let's talk about what God commanded us to do and what these things represent in our homes. Let's talk about what we do and why we do it. "Well, you see, this is God set this up for our remembrance to remember the sacrifice of Christ." Teaching is on a consistent and constant basis. And I want to tell you something, godly parents, teaching is not an option. Teaching was not a suggestion. God told you to teach your children. And He told you to do it, not someone else. Because you are responsible for your children. Decide today that you will be diligent in teaching and instructing your children to fear God and His commandments. Yes, fathers are called on to be the leader in this area. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, it says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Fathers, the weight is on us. We are to be the head of the home, and we are to be the head of that godly instructional teaching. Let us not shirk our responsibilities. There are too many souls wandering around in darkness out there because fathers failed to uphold their responsibility in the home. They didn't teach. We cannot afford for that to happen in the Christian homes of today. Now, although the leading role is placed upon the father, mothers, you have to teach as well. Take every opportunity that you have to teach your children about God's Word. You know, we read in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 and 5, where it says, "I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Paul talks about the faith that was in Timothy. And he gives credit to his mother for being the one that helped instill that faith in him. Mothers, you have a vital role. You have wonderful opportunity. Most of the time, mothers are more with the children during the daytime activities and the fathers are out working and or whatever. Doesn't always happen that way, but a lot of times it does. But regardless if whether or not that's the dynamic of your home or not, mothers, don't say, "Well, that's your dad's job, so I won't do anything." And dads, don't say, "Well, mom's taking care of that, so I won't do anything." Mom and dad need to get together and make sure that godly principles are being taught in the home. And dad, you need to take the leading role. And it's time for us to pick up that mantle and go with it. Far too often in the church's history, we have young adults get to the age where they start thinking about leaving home and going off to college, and they don't have a clue about what God's plan is. They don't have a clue about what God demands and expects from them. 2 Timothy 3 and 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." From a child it was taught. From a child he had heard these things. If our children don't hear about Jesus and what He expects from us till they get in their teenage years, we are miserable failures. They need to be taught these things, and we need to be talking about these things to where living a God-fearing life really is all they know, and anything else is a shock to them, not the other way around. Timothy was positively influenced by his mother. Both parents have a role in the home. Wonderful opportunity to mold and help create that child that will go out and serve God. Now, just as teaching is not an option, neither is discipline. Discipline's not an option. See, we've got far too many people in this world who really have become really way too intelligent. And if you don't believe them, ask them. They just know more than God. They just have a better way than God's plan on how to raise children. Children aren't corrected. Children aren't guided. And the proper discipline and correction isn't given in the home. Society's come to define any type of discipline as child abuse. Any type. "Oh no, don't. Whatever you do, don't do that. Don't stand them in the corner. Oh. Don't tell that child no. You're going to spoil their self-esteem." Do you know what another word for self-esteem is? Pride. You know what the Bible teaches about pride? That person who is lifted up in with pride is going to have a terrible fall someday. So are we supposed to teach our children to be prideful? Or are we supposed to teach them to be humble? You know, one of the ways that I was humbled Even in certain areas of my adult life, is when I get corrected about something. A lot of times I open that book and I get corrected about something. God's Word tells me, no, you're doing it wrong. Do it a different way. It's what correction and discipline is for, to set forth a proper course and change from an improper course. God views discipline and correction as necessary for a child to be brought up correctly. Who will you follow? Who will you choose to believe? Proverbs 13 and 24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Now the writers and how they wrote this, and at the time this was the language they used, you have to understand a little bit about what this was saying. Basically what this was saying was, if a man did not love his son, if he hated his son, and he wanted the worst for him, one of the best ways to get that worst outcome for his son was to withhold correction. You see, that's one of the worst things we can do for our children, is to withhold correction and withhold discipline. Because then they don't know what the right way is. They're not corrected. If you don't correct a child's spelling, trust me, he can't write a paper when he gets up into the later years in school. That's why the teachers go and the moms go and correct that and say, no, that's not spelled right. You're doing that wrong. Okay, so let's go down this way and learn how to spell it right. The same principle applies when we talk about correcting and disciplining our children. It's just we don't want to do it. That's the bottom line. Society just don't want to do it. Proverbs 23, verse 13 through 14 says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell." Don't withhold correction from your children. There's various methods to do it. I get that. Some people don't even want to tell them no. Some people don't even want to take them somewhere off to the side and say, look, this isn't going to happen in our home. And this is going to change. And I don't know why. I haven't yet figured out why people don't want to correct their children and guide them in the proper way. It's all right for a child not to get everything they want, parents. It's okay. They're going to live, I promise you. Hebrews 12. I suggest to you on your own time, go read verses 5 through 11, but I've picked a couple out here. This is the loving aspect of correction and discipline, and it's given by the Lord. In Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 6, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." The Lord chastises you because He loves you. Society has come to define this correction and discipline as someone who doesn't love their children. And they've got it exactly backwards, as so many other things they have in society. The Lord loves those whom He rebukes and chastens. Look at what it says in verse 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." The discipline that God demands is motivated by love, because the discipline He gives us is motivated by love. He loves us enough to correct us. Do we love our children enough to correct them? Fewer things worse than not disciplining a child. But look at what it says here. You know, this is the purpose of guidance, correction, discipline, to yield that peaceable fruit of righteousness. Pampering, indulging, allowing a child to do whatever he wants is not in his best interest. You know, parents do that a lot of times, and they do that thinking they're doing something good for the child, but they're actually hurting them. They're actually not preparing them for later in life. they're actually not preparing them to serve in the kingdom and answer for their sins on Judgment Day. I want you to look in Proverbs 29 and verse 15. It says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Amen. How many children have we seen grow up left to themselves, never corrected, never told, "No, that's not the right way. Let me show you the right way. Let's do it a different way." How many of those children have grown up to bring shame upon their family? Correct and discipline your children with the intent of yielding that peaceable fruit of righteousness. Another way, something you should keep in mind when you correct and discipline children, and say if, I said when, we go back to Proverbs 23, verse 13 through 14. We read that just a second ago, but I want you to look at verse 14. "Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." You see, every time a parent disciplines, corrects, punishes their children for doing something wrong, and they try to show them the better way, what we need to keep in mind is, I'm trying to save that soul from hell. I want to do everything I can to keep my child from walking straight down the pathway to eternal destruction. That should be our intent, one of the motivating factors that we have when we do this with our children. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 15. "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." If you don't believe foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, you don't have children. It's in there. Haven't decided exactly when it gets there, but there's a day where it pops up. And you realize it's there, and you realize, we got to deal with this. Because if foolishness left to itself in the heart of a child is allowed to fester and grow and to continue to take over, that child is traveling a pathway of destruction. You see, that's why we discipline and correct. Because we love them enough that we're trying to snatch them from the grips of the devil and get them off that pathway of destruction. Folks, love them enough to tell them no. Love them enough to show them a better way, because that's also part of the disciplining factor. It's not just saying no, it's saying no, let me show you a better way. That's what God's Word does. That's what He does with us as sons and daughters. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Don't expect your child to never be taught anything while they're young, and then all of a sudden when they're 21, all of a sudden the light come on, "Oh, I want to serve God." They need to be taught from a young age what's important, why it is vital to serve God. It is for their benefit. Proverbs 19 and verse 18, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Now back in Hebrews it said, no chastening for the present time. It's grievous, it's not joyous. And I want to tell you, if when people discipline and really gain joy out of it, they're doing it for the wrong reason and out of the wrong motivation. Because it is grievous. It's not joyous. But the Bible also says, don't spare the correction and discipline because of that child's crying. You know, there's a lot of crying that goes on in correction and discipline. A lot of it's in the open by the child, but parents, a lot of it's back in the back room after that's over and said and done. It's grievous on a lot of ways. But are you willing to do that for the benefit of your child's soul? That's the question. Are you willing to do that for the benefit of your child's soul? Or are you willing to just watch them walk right down the pathway for eternal destruction? The choice is yours. We read that passage back in Hebrews 6 and verse 4, I think it was, where it says, "Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Here's what bringing children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord means. It means raising your children to maturity in the education, the training, the correction, and the warning from God's Word. Nurture means education and training. Admonition means correction and warning. And that is how we should raise our children. Now, I want to speak just for a moment to the grandparents for just a second. The word grandparents not found in the Bible. The word grandmother's found once there in 2 Timothy. We use the words grandmother, grandfather, and those aren't found, you know, from what I can see in the Bible. They use terms like father, sons, and sons of sons, and things like that. I want to offer this to you as grandparents, that you can be such a blessing to your grandchildren. You can be an absolute blessing to them. Because as you get older and your children start having children, you need to continue to model and teach godly precepts. You need to continue to model and teach the principles of God's Word. You can be a great blessing to them. But you can also bring a lot of turmoil into the home if you're not careful. So use discretion as you go about being that grandparent. Because you've changed, let's be honest. My mom did. That's not the woman that raised me. I don't know where she went. I don't know when she left. But it ain't her. Grandparents change. And they have the right to change because they've been through the wars. They've been through the battles. They've earned that. Just use discretion when you go about offering advice and opinions to your children as you watch them raise their children. You can be a great blessing when you go talk to them one-on-one, have a cup of coffee and say, hey, I just want to tell you something. We messed up in this area here and here's what we did. Please don't make this mistake. That's a great way to go have a loving conversation with your children as they raise their children. Walking into the house and bringing turmoil and saying, nothing in this house is going right, let me show you how to do it right, that's not the way to go about doing it. Just a little side note there for grandparents. We love you. Our grandchildren really love you. And spoiling them is okay sometimes. That just offers opportunities for correction and discipline for the parent. Now, let's talk about children for just a moment. As I said, children, you are not just a side piece. You're not an accent piece of furniture in the house. You are part of the godly family dynamic. You have a role. God has spoken His Word to you as well. You have duties and responsibilities. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I find it really interesting that when Moses came off the mountain with two tablets of stone and the Ten Commandments that formed the framework of the Mosaical Law, one of those commandments on there was directly to the children. It was specifically to children. Honor your father and your mother. Children, it is not your job to be a rebellious child in the home. Your job, God calls you to honor father and mother. You need to obey, you need to respect, and you need to be in subjection to your parents. You can cause a lot of turmoil too if you don't want to live by God's Word. Look at what Proverbs 1 and verse 8 through 9 says. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Far too often children don't understand some of the reasons that parents do the things they do. But they don't get to decide whether or not that's what's going to happen or not. Children, understand your parents have lived a lot more years than you have. They have seen a lot more things than you have. They've had more experiences than you have. Understand when they give you instruction and guidance that they are doing it for your benefit in an effort to try to save you from some of the mistakes they have made. I made my share. I don't want my children making the same mistakes I made. I want them to go a better path. live a better life. Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3, again this verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is the right thing to do. You know, we say, mind mom and dad. Amen. That's your job. God expects you to do that. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. See, this commandment comes with a promise. Why? That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. It's to your benefit to mind mom and dad. You will have a much better life if you obey mom and dad and live according to the ways that they are teaching you and educating you. Living by God's word keeps us out of a lot of life's pitfalls. And children should desire to please their parents because they know that it will be pleasing to God. You see, once that light comes on in the heart and mind of a child that I want to please God, therefore I'm pleasing my parents, that's when we can really start molding and educating. Because that's the light that needs to come on extremely early. Well, why do I have to mind them? Because God wants me to, and I want to please God. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. My advice to you children will be set your sights on serving God early in your life. Don't wait. Be a godly person as soon as possible. Do it early. Far too many souls have been lost to the devil because they decided they'd serve God later. I'll do that later. Well, I don't want to right now. I'll do that later. Proverbs 8 and verse 1 through 4, wisdom cries out to be heard. Wisdom cries out to be learned. Proverbs 8 verse 1, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, and at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Wisdom desires to be heard because wisdom has benefits for mankind. Wisdom can help us. Wisdom is there for our benefit, and wisdom is crying out to be used in our life, crying out to be learned. Verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Children, start seeking godly wisdom as soon as possible. Don't wait for mom and dad to tell you to read your Bible. Read your Bible on your own. Seek God early in your life, and it will be to your own benefit. As I said, too many souls have been lost to the devil because children didn't start early enough, parents didn't start early enough. We have children who go through life and decide they get a little older, and well, they want to sow their wild oats before they get on the Lord's side. Got a little fun, you know, you want to live and everything before we start serving God. And while they're sowing their wild oats, parents stand idly by and smile and say, oh, that's just kids being kids. Yeah, it's your job to get them to mature adults, parents. Let me ask you a question. What crop do you plan to reap if you sow wild oats? You expect to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness? If you sow seeds of immorality and sin? Trust me, that's not the crop that you're going to reap. Let's see what God's Word says about this. What crop will you plan to harvest? Galatians 6, verse 7 through 8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life everlasting. Sowing the seeds of immorality and sin, sowing the seeds of living a life for self and only pleasing the flesh, what crop is going to be brought forth at harvest? It's going to be destruction for eternity. Young people, I would advise you to sow seeds of righteousness in your life as soon as possible. Sow the seed of God's Word in your heart and let it yield the fruit that its purpose is. Parents, don't ever forget these children are a blessing from God. And when you consider that your children are a blessing from God, understand what your duty is. Our duty as parents is not to make sure they have the highest IQ. Our parents is not to make sure they go get the best education money can buy, or they go get the full ride, whether it be on this scholarship, that scholarship, that scholarship. That is not our purpose. Our purpose is to raise children to maturity so that they will love God and want to serve Him faithfully and work in the kingdom to bring forth the fruit that glorifies Him. That's our job. It's a big one. It's a big job, and it can be overwhelming at times. But God gave us that command, and He expects us to fulfill that. And He has confidence that we can if we just make sure we rest in His Word and live by His guidance. Don't take this role lightly, but take it on with joy. Take it on with joy, understanding that you can play a part in bringing forth the next generation of people in the congregations, the next workers in the kingdom. A man was once quoted as saying, "If my children are miserable failures in the eyes of men, with barely a living wage or even living under a bridge, but they spend eternity in heaven, I will have considered myself a great success." Amen. I firmly believe that. Children, don't forget your responsibility either. Serve God and serve Him early. You know, as we think about that principle there, we think about this concept of "I'll do it later," and far too many people think they're going to serve God later and they want to get this done and I need to get this straight and I need to get this right before I serve God. I want to tell you, if you want to get right, the only way to get right is through Christ. You can't get right without Christ. You can't get good enough without Jesus. You need to get right with the Lord, and you need to get right as fast as you can. And we offer an invitation this morning for those who are here today that haven't got right with God, but they know it needs to be done. You know, the Bible says in James, "He that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." You know, if you know what you're supposed to do, why are you waiting? What's holding you up? We're not promised tomorrow. But more importantly about that, understand this. The faster we get on the road with God and serve in His kingdom, the more time we have to enjoy the blessings He gives us. The more time we have to serve Him and enjoy those great and wonderful blessings, and the more time we have to enjoy the salvation and the forgiveness of sin. You know, if you're here this morning and you have a burden and sin is on your heart, turn that over to Christ. That's what He came to take care of. Let Him handle that. Let Him take care of that. And then you can go on your way rejoicing, serving in the kingdom. We stand ready to assist anyone here this morning who has a need. If you know you have a need, there's no time like the present. Make that need known. We would love to pray with you, pray for you. We have the waters here. If someone needs to obey the gospel, there's no better time like the present. Come. Let the Lord help you while we stand and sing the next song.